desire, Lord, to grow more, Lord, in your spiritual walk. We thank you, God, for this morning. We bless there is the time today. Thank you for everything. We bless your name. Jesus, can we pray? Everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.
One more day, the witch vanishes. If you find that the fancy is power point, want to go to the sunset. I hope that the Bible is with you. Then with me to Exodus chapter 80. We'll be looking at the second part of the 8 verses 16 to 32. And we'll be looking at the third and the fourth plague. It is the lies and the flies. And next week we'll do more, which I was really, I thought we can move forward chapter 9. But today we'll be looking at chapter 8 verses 16 onwards. Text of the lies and the flies. Hope you came as from your friends. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again. Thank you for your mercy, grace, for your love and care. Thank you that you found your heart of faith. We ask that your Spirit will speak to us as that holy. Please speak to us from the heart here. Of course, Martin, our heart to hear your voice. Good talk, disappointing. We thank you again that your word in our hands. I bless you, givers, and then doers. Be like Mary, who learned first the simple teaching, and then after that, you will find that you will gain them both with excitement and get with confidence. So, we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll be wondering how long we're going to take to go through the 10 plagues. So this is where we are right now. We've just done the second plague, looking at the crops. And today we will continue to move on to week after week as we study. We will fill in this chart. And you will notice that there are a lot of similarities. First of all, there is a pattern in this plague. That in the first nine plagues, it is organized into three sets of three plagues each, and they are all pretty similar, not exactly the same as what you will find in the tribulation. And in the tribulation, it also comes in three sets of seven each. The first set of seals, seven trumpets, and then seven bowls. And we will highlight them as we go along in our study, find the connection between the plagues and the tribulation. Today we have come to plague number three, which is the final plague in the first group of three plagues. And according to pattern, this plague will come without warning. And it's so similar in our own lives. There are many times God will warn us. He will warn us. But if we refuse to listen, it'll come a time when no more warning, because you have been warned. So it's so similar in our own spiritual walk with God. And this is where we pick up verse 16 and 17. Verse 16 reads, "Then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the ground, and throughout the land of Egypt, the dust will become gnats." Verse 17. They did this, and when Aaron stretched out his hand with the staff and struck the dust of the ground, gnats came on people and animals. All the dust throughout the land of Egypt became gnats. very quickly, when we read phrases like this, all the dust, it doesn't literally mean all the dust. It means there's a huge, huge number of gnats, insects from the dust. And when we read in the gospel, we read all of Jerusalem, all of Judea went out to see John the Baptist. It doesn't mean that the whole town is empty. No, it means many people went to see John the Baptist. So when Aaron was commanded, he struck the ground. The dust turned to gnats. Or in some translation, it reads lice. Lice. Ticks. How many of you got ticks before? I know it's quite kind of embarrassing, but in days long ago, it is very common, right? Especially with adults, with a long hair, the ticks stays in your hair. And what I've seen with my own eyes is that it will shave your head. It will shave your head, and then probably rub it with kerosene or something like that. Chew ticks. So we do not know exactly what type of gnats or lice this is. But from the original text, the lice, it means either a gnat or a lice. A gnat usually has got wings and can fly, but we don't know whether these are can fly or not. But the Hebrew word tells us that has this sense of plastic, because the lice has got claws, sharp claws, and it can cling on to the men and the animals. And what it does is it will bite, it will suck your blood, and then you will feel pain, you feel itchiness. So that's what a lice does. We'll talk a bit about more lice. It's going to swallow it. Your lunch. We read out verses 18 and 19. But when the magician struck produce the gnats by their secret arts, he could not. Since the gnats were on the people and animals everywhere, the magician said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart was hard. He would not listen, just as the Lord had said. So here we find for the first time, the Egyptian magicians could not imitate the miracle. But we do not know why. Why was it that Satan behind these magicians could no longer counterfeit this miracle? We are not told why. But we do know what's going on. We know that Satan is an angelic being, a created being like you and I. Therefore, his powers are limited, but not God's. So when the magicians knew that they were beaten, they correctly admitted that this way is the finger of God and for the joy of the Lord. And in scripture, this phrase is quite interesting. The finger of God usually speaks of the power and the authority of God. And probably find it these three instances when it was during the giving of the law, it was the finger of God that wrote the law. And then in Psalm 80 verse 3, we're told that creation, it was the finger of God. And in the Gospel of Luke chapter 11 verse 22, we're also told that it was the finger of God that cast out the demons. So this is about this thing. And if you and I will try to find find a parallel of such a thing happening in the tribulation. It kind of be a little difficult. You have to look a little harder because there's no direct reference or mention of this rise or insects in the tribulation. But we do know that during the tribulation, God will raise two witnesses, and they will be given power to bring about plagues. We find that in Revelation chapter 11, verse 6. Revelation 11, verse 6. Verse 6 reads, they have power to shut up the heavens so that it will not rain during the time they will prophesy. And they have power to turn waters into blood and strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they want. So from this verse 6 itself, we can draw a conclusion that the plagues that these two businesses will bring, they are similar to those what we find in Exodus. Of course, there is a mention of water turning blood, and then there is a mention of striking the earth with every plague. Notice also that this verse does not say that these two witnesses can strike the earth with whatever plague they want. No. Instead, the verse tells us they will strike the earth with every kind of plague. As if there is a list of plagues that God has approved. Plagues that must be sent through these two men. But when we put these two plagues together with the earlier reference to love, it strongly suggests to us that just like Moses, these two witnesses will be directed by God, and they will do as God commanded. They will be called to repeat the plagues of each, meaning they can't do what they like. Like Moses, they will only act as God commands. The fact of the lies also had an effect on the Egyptian priesthood. The Egyptian priests are here mocked. Why? Because they are so obsessed with cleanliness. And many of all the priests, they would have their entire bodies clean shaven, so as to prevent insects from living on their body. And even Pharaoh himself usually would be clean shaven. So here we find God mocking the Egyptian priesthood for their inability to keep the insects away from their bodies and making them harm, because now their bodies will be bloody at the fights. And the Egyptian idol that God is targeting here, there could be many, but this one in particular, I think it is the Egyptian idol they call Set. Because this Egyptian god is supposed to protect the people from lies. And I just want to tell you again that if you read different commentators, they probably give you different names. And were they able to imitate? They tried, but they failed. Subsequently, all the others, they will not even try to imitate because they know they can't. It is God, only God. So it tells us here that many times in ourselves, we can try and we're going to fail. But learn from the Egyptians. Learn to know when you are beaten. Learn to submit So with this widespread infestation of flies, it was so severe, but it caused only some irritation to the people. It was a nuisance and probably a lot of inconvenience. So we see that's what's happening in this thirsty place. If there's no water, the human turn into blood, they just need to dip. It's not as convenient last time as just going down to the Nile and then picking up some drinking water, but now they have to dip. So it became inconvenient. And all it cost for the Egyptians and Pharaoh, it made them feel miserable. Miserable. But still bearable. And here we read again, Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart. And let's watch. Let's watch as God moved up their discomfort to the next level. Verses 20 and 21. Verse 20. Then the Lord said to Moses, get up early in the morning and confront Pharaoh as he goes to the river and say to him, this is what the Lord says, let my people go, so that they may worship me. If you do not let my people go, I will send swarms of flies on you and your officials, on your people and into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians will be full of flies. Even the ground will be covered with them. So now we're going to look at the fourth plague. The conflict of the flies. And I don't know whether you all have been swamped with flies before. And that was I think it was in Canada, Australia. It was summertime, and that's the time when the flies actually were hibernating, or their eggs were in the ground. Summer, they all come out. And if you try to take off, as you address to the ball and keep still and try to hit the ball, one fly will go into your nose. And that happened to me. And it was so miserable. You can't, because the golf courses would be full of flies. And what you have to do is to wear a hat with a netting, right? That's what I did. If you have got swarms of insects, then in Singapore we just get those, call it termites. Certain one season of the year, termites go into your house. They're so really good. But these flies, they are different. The word swarm in a Hebrew, it means a mosquito. A mosquito. Or, to be more accurate, it means diverse sorts of flies. There are many different types of flies. Right? So, I tried to be smart, and the Septuagint will call it a dog fly, which I think is correct. So, I use AI, and I say, draw me a cartoon of a dog fly. And I was curious. And this guy came up with this. Alright, the dog case with a fly before you one. That's not a dog fly. But what a dog fly probably would look like any ordinary fly. Because there are flies, there are many types, they're all different. But this dog fly bites. Bites. Remember, the first series of plagues only caused them to be miserable. And you're not in the light, my attention. then they probably lasted 2 days or at most a week. This new place is the beginning of a new set, and we know that it comes in with a warning in the morning. Now God is promising them that with the next judgment, it's going to get a lot worse, because this does something but it flies. We're going to affect not just the beasts, but the animals as well. Very severely. And when I read this, I thought it was a bit strange, because it went on to say that it would destroy the man also. How on earth can flies destroy the man? Let's read on. Verse 22 and 23. But on that day I will deal differently with the land of Goshen, where my people leave, no swarms of flies will be there, so that you will know that I, the Lord, am in this. I will make a distinction between my people and your people. This sign will occur tomorrow. So, what is God saying here? God is saying here that on the day He sent the swarm of flies, verse 22 tells us that God is actually imposing the world first, no fly zone, over the land of Goshen, because this is where the Hebrews lived. And some of you will know that I'm just making fun of the term fly, no fly. So what is actually a no fly zone? Wait, wait. It's just a play on words here, because you would remember that after 9/11, when the World Trade Center came down, York City, in 2001. And after Osama bin Laden was hunted and killed in 2011, 10 years later, we got him. The world then is now on the highest alert against terrorist attacks. You remember, our lives changed. When you board the plane, it's so difficult. They check everything. Even the cockpit is now locked. So in 2012, during the London Olympic Games, a no-fly zone was imposed over the whole Olympic site. Because such zones are usually set up in any territory during a conflict to prevent any flights coming in for humanitarian aids or military flights. Because the whole enemy territory is under. So there's a no-fly zone. So that's some of you who understand that God imposed a no-fly zone over Goshen. But the whole of Egypt will be filled with swarms of flies, except Goshen. Verse 22, God said, He will deal differently, deal differently. Now the Hebrew word for the word deal differently, it means separate, to separate. In the NASB, we have the term set apart, King James, sever. Or like what we mean, he said, from driver brakes. It's another dictionary that says, we use the word marked out, marked out. This word is used 4 times. Sorry, not 4 times. It's repeated in verse 4 and verse 7 of chapter 11. And the thing of the hail, and then towards the end, the 10th plague. This word is being used. God will mark out Goshen. God will mark out Goshen. But in verse 23, God said He will make a distinction between my people and your people, that means Egyptian. This was distinction. In English, it sounds similar. But in the people, it is different. The word people was used for me four times. And 41 was it used for this word distinction. That means you kept apart. The other 3 times it is used. We mean deliver, redeem, or redemption. So what is God saying? God is saying to Pharaoh that God has marked out the land of Goshen for his redeemed people. And from then, from Goshen, God is going to bring them out of Goshen, out of Egypt, into Canaan. And this actually foreshadows a future event when Jesus will seal and redeem his people with his Holy Spirit. And that's the thing about all of us. And even though today we're still living in Goshen, which is in Egypt, which is in the world, today we're still in Goshen. That God has marked out where you're staying. God has marked out your home. God is watching over your home. It's in that dream. But as for Pharaoh and the Egyptians, verse 24 tells us, and the Lord did this. Dense swarms of flies poured into Pharaoh's palace and into the houses of his officials throughout Egypt. The land was ruined by the flies. So again here we read, the land was ruined by the flies. The thick dense swarm of flies filled the palace and all the houses and completely destroyed the land. What does it mean? Another part of scripture gives us a clue. Psalm 78 verse 45. Psalm 78 verse 45 tells us how destructive this crime is. Verse 45 reads, he sent swarms of flies that devoured them and frogs that devastated them. Speaking about the plagues in Egypt, the psalmist tells us that this swarm of flies devoured them. And the word devoured in Hebrew, it means to eat. To eat meat. So we won't make I'm not known of any flies that they dissolve the meat. Yes. Alright, okay. So probably this is what is meant here. But in the BCE, it says here clearly to eat human flesh or the meat of animals, meaning they are flesh-eating flies. What does it really mean? In the Hebrew, it simply means that the flies eat up the flesh of the Egyptians and the meat of animals. And to understand this, Kale and Dittich, they are German commentators. This is how they explain it. They said that when enraged, the dog flies fasten themselves upon the human body, especially upon the edges of the eyelids. And they, meaning the dog flies, not only tortured, deviled the men, they disfigured them by the swellings produced by the sting. But also, they killed the plants in which they deposited their eggs. So wherever they deposited their eggs, the plants would die. So that explains how the men. So these blood-sucking dog flies made too hard. The commentators continue to say that it could have explained, like, they think that during that time, there were quite a lot of blind men because of this dog flies. They fight, but they did not affect the evil. And God is saying that from this point onwards, God's judgment for the rest of the other seven plagues will be specifically directed only at Egyptians. And again, when we look at this, we see that there is this pattern. And this pattern will share what's going to happen during the 7-year tribulation. When all of God's children will not suffer God's wrath, we will be raptured very quickly. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, we are not appointed for God's wrath. Jesus himself said in John chapter 3 verse 36, that if you and I believe, we have eternal life. But if you reject the Son, you will not see life. And the wrath of God remains on them. While on one hand, it should bring great comfort to all of us, one day we will be raptured, taken out of this world before the tribulation starts. And that of God's wrath. The other hand, we need to ask ourselves, who about my family, my friends, people who might claim I love them, what about them? Also, when we look at this chart again, you'll notice that beginning from verse 24 onwards, in this new series of judgments, verse 46, it is God who will be acting alone, bring his anger, bring his wrath on Pharaoh and the Egyptian. And we're beginning to sense how severe this plague of flies was for Egypt. It was far more horrifying than the frogs and the lions. You can almost imagine many of the Egyptians walking around with swollen ivory. The girls had a sick, literally young couple to get it from other people. And it's swollen and then you look so embarrassed when you look at people today to get the ivory. And then and they'll make some nasty comments because in the past we've got some strange, weird, embarrassing comments that they will not say they will. And because it's so horrifying, now forces Pharaoh to negotiate for a compromise. And this verse 25 will be the first of 4 times Pharaoh will attempt to negotiate with God. It wasn't with Moses. He was negotiating with God. What happened? And I think sometimes we can check ourselves. We show such arrogance to you. We're not aware of it. Verse 25, 27. Verse 25. Then Pharaoh summons Moses and Aaron and said, "Go, sacrifice to your God here in the land." But Moses said, that will not be right. The sacrifices offered to the Lord of God would be detestable to the Egyptians. And if we offer sacrifices that are detestable in their eyes, will they not scorn us? Verse 27, we must take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, as He commands us. So this will be Pharaoh's first attempt to bargain, negotiate, and it is to have Israel sacrifice. Go ahead, sacrifice to your God as much as it makes you happy. So do it here in the land of Egypt. Obviously, Pharaoh knew that if Israel were to be allowed to leave for 3 days, they're never ever going to come back. Sayonara, goodbye. But he wants to keep them as slaves. And then as I was reading the reply of Moses, I didn't quite understand it. It didn't seem to connect. In fact, it sounded like an excuse or even a lie to Pharaoh. But actually, Moses was merely giving an explanation, a reason for what he said earlier to Pharaoh in chapter 5, verse 3. You remember in chapter 5, verse 3, he said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, or He may strike us with plagues or with the sword." The first part is repeated many times. But the last part is interesting. If the people refuse, if they are scared and they do not want to leave Egypt, God will come and bear with faith or the sword, meaning not just with that. Pretty weird to see that it's true, still applicable today. Why? People were used to be so God will be sent to faith. He means that. That doesn't go to turn up the screw. He turns up the screw. It becomes painful. Finally, you still receive. It is dead. So Moses, in verses 26 and 27, he was explaining to Pharaoh what he didn't explain earlier, that God has made a demand on the Hebrews. The Hebrews must live, and live in permanently, so that they can be set apart to worship God. Isn't that true even today? That God demands of all of us. Some of us, first, you know, either to honor, we are here today, we have surrendered our life to Jesus. But there's still many out there. The Hebrews, as Moses explained, if they were to offer the sacrifices of sheep and bulls, this would greatly offend the Egyptians, so much so that they would cause a riot, and the Egyptians can stone them and kill them without fear of any consequences. Why? Because the Hebrews are slaves, their lives are worthless, and there are no consequences. So that is what Moses here, which is true. So as we read these 2 verses, in other words, what Moses is saying is, Yahweh has been the command. He has commanded the Israelites to leave Egypt. And God has set a day for the sacrifice, which is not mentioned here. And if the people refuse, Yahweh will come at them with plagues or sword. hate the Eagles. But if Pharaoh refused to let this trial go and worship and sacrifice, this sacrifice will still happen. It will still be carried out on the date that God has set. But this sacrifice will be held here. You and I know that's what it happened. And faith, when they sacrificed the lamb, it Jesus suffered. It came the gave Christ. Finally, it will still happen. God has said it, it will happen. And when we sacrifice the lamb, you and I know God was targeting the Egyptian idols that they worship, Amun and Kanun. But both of them have got ram's head. Right? So now that Moses had he had clearly explained to Pharaoh what was God's original demand, and this demand had been repeated to him and will be repeated to Pharaoh throughout these 10 plagues, seven times. And again, Pharaoh ignored. But Moses stood his ground and didn't give in. And he said to Pharaoh in verse 27, and let me paraphrase it. In verse 27, this is what Moses said. Moses said to Pharaoh, "Now you know, like it or not, we will still do it. Just as he commands us. Just as he commands us." So looking at this whole thing, was it Pharaoh's ambiguous? Pharaoh was trying to compromise. And Pharaoh and Egypt, they are a picture of the world. And Pharaoh and the world is saying to Moses, "Worship your God, that's fine, but do it in Egypt." What does it mean, do it in Egypt? You and I were in the world. Yes, we're in the world, but you and I know we are not of the world. What Pharaoh is saying to Moses and the Israelites is, do it my way. Stay in Egypt. Stay in the world. That is, do it my way. Is it Pharaoh's way or God's way? The world talks to the devil behind them. The world wants us to be a part of the world, to be taking it on their values, compromising, corrupting, and diluting the word of God. They were actually persuading Moses to accept something less than what God had commanded of them. The big question is, you can say, like Moses, verse 27, we will do just as God commands. You say that? How do you say that? If you and I, you say, it doesn't matter what the world demands of, but I will do just as Jesus commands me. Now Pharaoh knew he was beaten, but he was able to quickly come up with a second compromise. A second compromise, verses 28 and 29. Listen to what he said. Pharaoh is really clever because he's as clever as a snake. His father is the devil. So verse 28 reads, Pharaoh said, "I will let you go to offer sacrifices to the Lord your God in the wilderness, but you must not go very far. Now pray for me. Talk about free the compromise. All he cares about is to get rid of the pledge. That's all he cares. Pray for me. But Moses had said in verse 29, as soon as I leave you, I will pray to the Lord, and tomorrow the flies will be Pharaoh and his officials and his people. Only let Pharaoh be sure that he does not act deceitfully again by not letting the people go to offer sacrifices to the Lord. So here we know for sure Pharaoh's true fear was losing his free slave labor. And he was so frustrated by this point. And reluctantly, he allowed them to go into the wilderness. But in verse 28, Pharaoh said, "Don't go this far. I will miss you." Yeah, I didn't say that. But you and I can see from these two compromises. Even though the words were uttered in big words, Moses. But here we see Moses didn't even bother to quibble with him over those big terms. Because Moses already knew that Pharaoh, once he gets relief from the plague, he will find his heart. That's why we find in verse 29, Moses rebuked Pharaoh, and in short, he's calling him a cheat, a liar, warning him not to deal deceitfully again. But at the same time, personally, I believe Moses was also preparing himself to get disappointed. Not that he didn't have faith, but he knew Pharaoh. What can we learn from this? And I think there's a huge lesson for us here. How Moses acted in front of the king, the most powerful man of those days. What can we learn? As you and I, as followers of Jesus, we must prepare to rebuke church leaders, pastors, and even kings, and we openly break God's law. But very few of us are willing to do this because we want to be nice guys. We want to say positive things. And as many Christians today like Christ say, to bring the words of healing, even if it's not true. Just say something positive. Say something that will bring healing. Don't say that. That's the reason why God's church today is in a terrible, pathetic spiritual state. Because from pastors all the way down to the common ordinary members of the church, many are openly living in sin. Nobody has the guts to confront them because they want to rob the boat. That's why today, many churches are spiritually dead. Pure song is God. Many of the Baptist churches, the main denominations in the West, they are gone. Totally dead. Because of what they did, Jesus has taken away their lampstand. The revelation from Jesus born. I will come and I will take away your lampstand. Meaning, in your picture, full of activities. Do you remember Jesus when he was gospel and was walking? And then he saw fig trees. And your feet. The leaves is a symbol of activity. Then program. Plenty of it. But no fruits. No fruits. But it's true. This is a picture. The picture of our Jesus. And I'm telling you, if you truly want to achieve God's people, the church, then learn like Moses to boldly speak the truth of God's word. Yes, in love, as gently as we can, but it's always never easy. But we have to do it. Moving on, when we look at Moses, I constantly ask myself, why would Moses allow himself to be fooled, to be tricked by Pharaoh again and again and again? Why? Do you and I think Moses is stupid? No, no. Moses could have refused to pray for Pharaoh and the Egyptians for the plague to stop. In fact, that's what I do. I will pray that the plague will continue. That's why until both eyes are swollen and they're blind, and, but their lips also. Moses could have refused. Look at verses 30-32. Verse 30. Then Moses left Pharaoh and prayed to the Lord. Lord, did what Moses asked. The wise left Pharaoh and his officials and his people. Not a wise remained. At this time, also, Pharaoh hardened his heart and would not let the people go. Moses knew he was fully aware that Pharaoh cannot be trusted if his word. But that didn't stop Moses from praying on their behalf. And once again, when God removed the flies, they were hardened his heart. Just as God has said. Now, is there not a picture of us to me when we are in crisis, when we are in a deep hole? We pray, God, help me. I promise to do this. I'm sorry, you know, I cannot be pleasing to you at home. But when the crisis is over, man, quickly go back to our old places. And I say all this to give birth to my heart. Because just this week, I heard my friend of mine, Bible college, went into sin. I don't know what a bit of hope is. His dad was sick. So, no more faith. Was a pastor, serving. He is a common stroke. Many of our pastors are falling. Like flies. It's so sad that you and I, we have to hold, stick close to God's word, and hold it without fear. So for the fourth time, Moses was made to look silly. And here we find that God was exposing one of the Egyptian idols. His name is I don't even know how to pronounce them, but there is another one, the Elgin book, that God provides them more common. So there are 80 of them. You can put 80 names inside there and you'll see what. Right? So it doesn't matter. Don't worry about what is the name and what kind of flies it is. Does it have red eyes or green eyes? It doesn't matter. We will never know. But we do know that they are swarming insect. And just to let you know that in fact the word flies in Exodus, the word is not there. It's the word swarm, meaning there are many different types of insects. So what is God saying to us today through this truth place? type of the client, and yes, so far we'll look at some of the reasons for all these things, for all the 10 things that is given in our text. I've actually read this before, but I'll just put it up there again. What are some of the purposes, some of the reasons for this things? Yes, it is to free the Israelites from their bondage in Egypt. Yes, it is so that they can go into the to worship Yahweh and be set apart. Yes, it is also punish Pharaoh and the Egyptians for mistreating the Hebrews all these years. Yes. Both Egyptians and the Israelites, through all this place, they will come to know that Yahweh alone is God. There is no other God. Yes, it was God's intention to defeat and to destroy all the Egyptian idols. Show to Pharaoh and the Egyptians that these are not real gods. They are demons. And yes, it is also to glorify God's own name. Through all this, God is actually creating an opportunity for himself to display his powerful hand. We find that chapter 9, verse 16. And this is quite an interesting verse, because when you read it, it would appear that God is simply he's saying, I raised you up. I didn't allow you to die. Raised you up for this purpose, so that I can show my power. I can show to you my power, that my things can't be proclaimed to all. Wow. To me, it sounded like God is not bad. He created this hand of Pharaoh so that treat him up, so that he can look at the Almighty Son of God. He would appear like that. I will talk a bit more about this when we get So, over and above all those reasons that we've listed, all those purposes that we've listed, there's one more reason we find in Scripture. And that was a quiz question I threw up all of you some months back, maybe a month back. What is another purpose for this widespread display of the plagues, sometimes called miracles? What is another purpose? This is my question. There could be more, but I think of this one. It's so, so important that we find that in the context of the Bible. We look at Abraham's covenant. So, again, this quiz is still out there. One person might be get it. So, two more vouchers to be up to the next one. One person can try to find. Okay, but for today, looking at specifically these two plagues, the lion and the fly, what is God saying to me? What is God saying to you? We look at two compromises that Pharaoh put to Moses. The first one, Pharaoh said, worship your God. In Egypt, meaning stay in Egypt. He wanted them to do God Pharaoh's way. That's what's happening today in our world. We are all doing church our way or the world's way. But that's not good for God. We have to do it God's way, only God's way. Are we going to accept something less than what God demands of us? The answer is no, we can't, because that will not be acceptable to God. You and I need to be able to say with Moses, I will do as God commands.
Yeah.
Second compromise Pharaoh said to Moses was, don't go too far. Don't go too far. In today's Singlish, it is, don't be too serious, lah. Chin Chai can explain. Tragically, this is true because that's what the world is doing for us. They are telling God's people how far they can go. Because in many countries today, the authorities are telling Christian pastors, you can say this, but you cannot say that. And in recent years, authorities in our free world, in our free world, they have put many Christians and pastors in jail for being pro-life or simply just preaching the Bible. They are put in jail. How evil does our world become when white is now black? Black is the new white. And they've started to rewrite the Bible. Do you know that? They're printing their own Bible according to their leaders. And I'm not just thinking of the many oppressive governments in our East, but in the West, the satanic cult groups, for a long time now, they already had their own satanic Bible. What do you think God is going to say to them? You and I were seeing a replay of Pharaoh's tragic comedy. It's just a replay. You and I know how it is going to end. Not good for those who refuse or reject Jesus. It will be tragic. So Pharaoh can say to, and the world can say to us today, stay in Egypt or don't go too far. That you and I, we are not evil. Yes, we are not of the world. But you and I must be able to say, I will do just as Jesus has commanded. And I will go as far as where Jesus wants me to go. And we know how this world is going to end. The big question again is, what about my family? What about friends? What has